All right, we'll begin this evening, and we're kind of in the middle of the story of Samson, so let's kind of get up to speed with where we are in the story of Samson. Know that he was born. What was unusual about his birth? Right? He would be a Nazarite all of his life. What does a Nazarite mean? Charles, you know what a Nazarite means? No? Okay, let's ask the other Charles, see if he knows. Okay? Right, exactly. There's several things involved in that. One thing was he could not be a partaker of what? Anything dealing with grape or anything unclean. Several other things you find in Numbers chapter 6 and other passages as well. It tells all about the Nazarite vow. We know that as he grew, kind of a strange type person, would you say? I mean, his folks wanted him to do what? Anyway, he was kind of headstrong, wasn't he? He had his mind set. But his parents wanted him to find what? Close by. Why? Yeah, he wanted him to find one. And he didn't go that route. Where did he look? Philistine. Yeah. So they were not at all pleased with that. They tried to talk him out of it. He wouldn't have it. He's like Jimmy said, he's kind of headstrong on things. And we're going to see that throughout the story tonight as well. He pretty well has his temper tantrums, if you want to call it that. It's kind of that way anyway. But it was, I guess, in doing things for the Lord, it was actually things that the Lord saw that he had in him. And how he would use him against the Philistines. And that's what it was. He was judging Israel for that particular reason. He found a woman in what city? Timnath, okay? And we know her name? No, just a woman in Timnath, all we know. And her father in Timnath. That's about all we know him as well. So we just know about that. And he goes down and he marries her. Does he marry her? Okay. He refers to that in the session tonight. It actually refers to her as his wife. So we assume that he actually did marry. And back in those days, there was a little bit of difference in the way it's done today. You know, if you were betrothed, basically, that was it. So I don't know. We'll study about that a little bit tonight as far as him, her being his wife. But, something happened and he left. What happened? Okay, yeah, on the way down. Okay, very good. That's good. That's a good rendition of it. Real brief and good. Right to the point. And he plowed with his heifer. That's right. You got to be careful how you use that phrase, man. You know, that's not a something that sounds really good. You know, especially to the wife. So, but he really didn't care at that point, did he? So, and she probably wouldn't fight against him anyway. I don't guess, but anyway. All right, that brings us down tonight to chapter 15, and it was actually harvest time. I've got wheat up there. The scripture, some says wheat, some says corn. Anyway, it's grain of some type that was being gathered about this time and harvested. Possibly May, June, they have about the same climate as we have around here. Some very close anyway. So it's May, June time frame. And so Samson decides to go down and visit his wife. We find that in chapter 15, verse 1, actually. So he took her a present, not what most wives would like to have. What did he carry? Goat. And you think, you know, a bouquet of roses sounds a whole lot better, but not to those people, probably. A goat was a nice thing. It was food, that's right. And it made a difference to some of those people. possibly to the Philistines at this time. I don't know how well off they were, but anyway, he knew that he was going to carry that goat and give it to us as a present. Well, when he arrived there, he went to the house and he was going to go into the chamber with her. And her father said, "No, you can't go in. Why? I gave her to your best friend, your best man, basically." He said, I thought you... Oh, all right. Maybe it'll go away. All right. Back to the right one. All right. He told him, he said, "I gave her to your best man or best friend." He says, "But you can take her younger sister." "Oh, by the way, she's prettier than her older sister was." What her dad said, you know. This made Samson very angry. He was really upset over this. And so his idea was, now I've got the right to get even with the Philistines. You find that in verse 3. "And though they did me displeasure," he said, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines. But he's going to get even with them now. "I'll harm them. I'll do them hurt right now." So he blamed this development on the Philistines because they had cheated on this riddle that he had provided or proposed to them at the marriage feast. So Samson goes out and he catches 300 foxes. Jackals, some people think it might have been jackals. It doesn't really make any difference. Neither one of them is easy to catch. 300 of them is not an easy feat. One of them would not be easy feat. I wouldn't touch them to begin with. Today, we find a lot of those things carry what? Rabies, yeah. And I don't know, back in those days, they even knew what rabies was. I don't know. But 300 foxes, and then he took them, and he put them in pairs, tied their tails together. You know, I don't know if you've ever dealt with a dog or a cat one. If you start messing with the tail, they just don't like it, you know? And especially if you start tying it together. Now, I had a student a long time ago that it really upset me. But he said, I found that if you take two cats, tie the tails together and throw them over a power line, that they'll sit there and fight one another. And if you'll take a wire and stick it in the ground and just touch them every now and then, he said, "Man, they just go crazy." I thought, man, you are sick, you know? And whether he did that or not, I don't know, but that's beside the point. But, you know, animals just do not like having their tails tied together. They're going to fight one another. And especially when you turn them loose with a torch tied to them as well. I mean, you look back and see a torch tied, and you're going to try your best to go this way, you know. And so it's going to be a difficult thing to get them going in the same direction. But, you know, I guess if you tie the tails close enough, they'll go some way. But they'll go this way for a little while and that way a while. And, you know, whichever one's the strongest will pull the other one a lot of times. So, anyway, they were going through the grain fields very fast. Vineyards, and they were burning these fields, basically. And the vineyards and the olive groves burned as well. I found this on the internet where Samson was tying the firebrands to the foxes. And I can't see for the life of me them foxes not turning around biting him. But, you know, they didn't. And I got a wheat field. I found a wheat field that was burning. But this is one that's already been gathered. So it's different from one that the grain was still up. And it would be a lot bigger fire and a lot more. That whole place would be covered with fire because it spread very rapidly when it's dry. In harvest time, it's dry as a powder keg, you know, ready to go. But the Philistines were very upset with this when all their grain fields started burning. You can understand that. If you was ever a farmer and all of it went up in flames, oh yeah. So they inquired, "Who did this?" And the word came to them that it was Samson. But they weren't just going to run out and grab Samson, you know. They were afraid to tackle him. So instead, they went to the Timnites' house. And they burned the house burned him and burned the daughter. Well, Samson found out about that, and it made him even more angry. So he said, now I'll not stop till I get revenge. And this God knew what kind of person Samson was, Judge Israel. He knew, he wanted him to afflict the Philistines. That's what it was all about when he chose him. But he attacked them and he slaughtered a lot. And that's what we're told, that he just slaughtered a bunch of them. Verse 8 says, and he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And then he went down and dwelt top of rock of Etam. Now the rock of Etam, according to the Bible, was located between the Negev and the hill country of Judah, according to 1 Chronicles 4:32. Where was the Negev? South of Judah, down that way. The Philistines were now ready to fight over this situation, so they move over towards Judah and they camp right near in Judah's territory. And Judah says, wait a minute, why have you come to fight? What have we done? You know, we pay our tribute, you know. We've done everything you told us to. And they said, oh, well, we come to fight, get Samson. But here, this is where this map had Edom. And, of course, if it's in the Negev, it's down in this section down in here. And I don't know for sure which is which, but this map, I actually had it up here and I blocked it out and put it down here. Well, that's right, I'm not sure. But this was the general idea that Bob has in his book, that it's down in that. They've come to take Samson prisoner. So why didn't they just go down and just get Samson? They have seen the strength of Samson, haven't they? They've seen what he can do. And so they're scared of him. But anyway, we plan to do to him as he did to us. That was their statement. But Judah was afraid to fight the Philistines by themselves. They weren't going to take them on. So they took 3,000 men of Judah. They went down to the cave that Samson was in. 3,000 men. That's a lot of people to go talk to a man. And I'm not sure, you know, would he kill all 3,000 of them? Well, he possibly could have. He can do that. He's got the capability of it, especially if the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and they made him mad. Oh, yeah, without any problem. But they told Samson what was happening, how the Philistines had come and camped there. And they said to Samson, do you not realize that the Philistines rule over us? Exactly right. That is a very strange statement from people of the Lord. But they knew who was ruling at that particular time. And they went into question in their mind that if they did something, they'd come in and wipe them out, possibly. And they couldn't, they didn't feel like they could fight them at this particular time. So they asked Samson, what have you done to us? You know, you have really put us in a spot. And Samson said, I've just treated them the same way they treated me. That's all I've done. You know, well, that's kind of what they said about him. They wanted to do to him what he had done to them. Men of Judah said, we have come to tie you up, turn you over to the Philistines. You'd think Samson would, you know, say, no, not going to get me. But it didn't bother him at all. He agreed under one condition. What was it? Yeah. All I ask is you swear to me that you will not come against me and kill me, men of Judah. Why would he be concerned about that? Yeah, there you go. Didn't want to have to kill his own kinsman, you know. And so they agreed. They said, we won't kill you. We'll just tie you up and we'll deliver you to the Philistines. So he was good with that. He allowed them to bind him with two new ropes. You ever been bound with a rope? Yeah. Plow lines, ropes, it doesn't make any difference. You know, if I get tied up, I'm not going anywhere. But that's the total difference between people, regular people and Samson. But they led him from the cave up to the camp of the Philistines there at Lehi. Not where you go fishing. This is Lehi. It's just to the west of
Jerusalem area.
They approached there, and the people saw him coming. Oh, they were so happy. You could just see them. You know, they were happy about this situation. Man, they have brought Samson, and now we got him. Here he comes, and you could see, you could just hear the jubilation, you know, them hollering and what have you. And, of course, Samson hears this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he just broke the ropes, and he slew, killed about 1,000 Philistines. He used a strange piece of equipment. What was it? Jawbone of a donkey. How big is a jawbone of a donkey? You ever thought about that? Yeah, about like that, maybe. Maybe a big donkey, you know. And you wonder, why did he even need that? But that was it. That's what he found laying there, and that's what he used to kill him with. I don't know if it's got a sharp end on it or not. I don't have a clue. I've never really paid that close of attention to one that had died and seen the jawbone of it. But it may have a sharp end to it that could be used. I don't know for sure. But whatever it was, he found it, and he used it for the purpose of killing. After the slaughter, he threw away the jawbone. That we're told in the scripture. He threw it down. And the name of the place is called Ramah Lehi, or Jawbone Hill. What's so significant about that? Well, Samson, after all of this was said and done, he became very thirsty. He had worked hard at this. Very thirsty. And even cried out to God, saying, you know, you gave me this great victory, yet I'm going to die of thirst. If I don't have some water, I just got to have some water. So, we find that God, in verse 19, says that God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. There came out water. And does that mean that in the jawbone, he clave a hollow place out in the jawbone that he had just used? Thought about that? Name of the place. I think that's probably right, because he clave out a hollow place in the jaw, in the Ramath jaw, whatever, possibly. And that's where water came out. And he goes on to say that he drank and the Spirit came back into him. And this Lehi is named in Hakor, whatever, his name that he named it. And it means fountain of springs. And it also says that the springs kept flowing in this particular place after this. So if it was the jawbone itself, it really wouldn't make much sense for water to keep coming out of a jawbone, you know. Not that God can't do that, but it makes more sense for it to be coming out of a hollow place that was in the rock or whatever might be there. And we're told that Samson judged Israel 20 years at the end of this, into chapter 15. Judges 16, we find that Samson goes to Gaza, the harlot. There's so many things in Samson's life that we just don't see why God used him in some ways. And yet, God used him for a specific purpose. And one of them was this particular thing right here, to afflict the Philistines. But he goes to see a harlot, and the men of Gaza saw him coming. And they were thrilled because he got into the city and they locked the gates. They said, "Ha, we got him now. Morning comes, we'll kill him." Don't ask me why they wanted to wait till morning. I don't understand that one. They were going to get him, I think, when he was getting ready to leave to go out. And come to the gate and he couldn't go anywhere, you know. Well, that didn't happen. They were going to catch him at sunrise. He left at midnight. Got to the gate of the city. They were locked. He just reached down and fixed the whole gate post and all. Throws it over his shoulder and heads on out. Takes the gate and all with him. We just don't know anybody like that. We just do not. You know, I don't know if you tried to pull just one single post up or not. About got to have a tractor, hadn't you, Jimmy? Just to get one up. Yeah, we've been there and done all that. Not easy. But anyway, he took the gate and he carried it to the hilltop towards Hebron. Now, exactly which hilltop toward Hebron, we don't know. Or which one it was. takes an enormous amount of strength to pull up the gate, just to carry the gate. But the post and everything else that went along with it took a tremendous amount of strength. And God knew He could use His strength for His purpose. Weight of the gate on Him, you can just imagine probably the footprints that it left, you know, as He traveled up to this mountain, healed or whatever. But those waiting in ambush, the Scripture tells us, they never knew it. They never knew He went out. And usually, you know, if you got a set of gates and posts and everything with it, you're going to make some noise. You know, even if you're doing it all by yourself, you know, you just pick it up. But there's some kind of rattling going on, usually. But evidently, they was either sound asleep or the Lord saw that they slept hard. I'm not sure. They thought that He was going to stay all night there at the harlot's house. So they were going to wake up early and be waiting for Him. But that didn't happen. In verse 3, Samson lay till midnight, and then he arose, took the doors of the gates and the posts, and he went away with them, bar and all, put them on his shoulder, carried them to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Could be, as Bob put it, El Motar, which lies east of Gaza, a hill or area. Sure about that. And I don't know for sure where that was at even. Some think it was close to Hebron. We don't know for sure which hill it was. If they could see it from the city of Gaza, see if it was close enough, you could imagine when they got up and saw those gates standing up over there. I don't know if he leaned them against a tree or what. Comment, anybody? Well, God just endowed him with this special strength. And evidently, it came upon him when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He did not have it or possess it, use it on a daily basis, evidently. What I, you know, from reading the Scripture, it was when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him is when he really had this strength. And you, if you think about it, even people today, when they set their mind to it, I'm thinking about these people that do karate and stuff like that, you know, they have to sit and think and prepare themselves to be able to break 10 or 12 concrete blocks or whatever it is they do. You know, but they have to prepare themselves for that. That's not what Samson did. No. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, that was something from God. That's the way I understand it anyway. So, but anyway, at his death, Samson met a woman. Her name was Delilah. Did I move it? Samson met another woman whose name was Delilah. And she lived in the valley of Sork. It was located in the Shephelah. Where's the Shephelah? Anybody remember? What you got close to the ocean? Coastal plains. Then you got the hills. So what's in the middle? Shephelah. All right, good. I'm glad y'all come up with that. That's the Shephelah. All right. So. It's a series of valleys just west of the hill country of Judah. The Philistines heard how Samson was infatuated with Delilah. And so they were going to use this to their benefit. So the leaders came to Delilah and told her, you know, you need to persuade him to tell us the source of this great strength. They knew that he had the supernatural strength of some kind. And they didn't know what brought it on. But we need to know so that we can bind and oppress him. By the way, if you find out, we'll give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Now you know that's quite a bit. But if we look just a little bit further, and we'll get there in just a minute, I think. But 1,100 pieces of silver is a pretty good chunk of change back in those days. But they certainly knew about Samson's strength. So Delilah seems to be just going along with it. That's, you know, okay, you know, fine. Joshua 13 and verse 3 tells us that there were actually five lords of the Philistines. It's also found in 1 Samuel 6 and verse 4. But the rulers from Ashdod, Gath, Ekron, Ashkelon, Gaza, each of them promised 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, when you add all that up, you know, it comes to a pretty good bit of money. She would be a wealthy lady, you know, when this was over with, if she could just find the answer. So she went right to work on Samson, try to find out exactly where his strength lay. Tell me why you are so strong, and how can you be bound? If somebody comes to get you, just want to hold you. You know, well, by the way, these bowstrings that I've got up here, I think Bob's got in his book, but it and the widths, I think, is the same thing. Widths is the only thing I can find in the Bible, though. That's what y'all found, isn't it? Widths is all I found. So I'm thinking that the bowstrings that Bob mentions may be the one and the same. But anyway, they brought these green widths, which is made from sinew of animals. And what sinew of animals?
What is it, Rick?
Okay, very good. The tendons that connect the muscle. Very good. Very commonly used for bowstring. Very good. That's great. Well, he told her to tie him up with this, and I'll be as weak as anybody else. Well, so she does that, and then she cries out to him, you know, here they come, you know. But the Philistines are coming, Samson. What are you going to do? He just breaks them right off. No question, no problem. And those, I don't know if you tried to break tendons, those kind of things. They're pretty stout, aren't they? Right. Okay. Very difficult. So, Samson seems to be just, you know, more or less just playing a game with her. And it's almost funny, you know, just this part of the story, how he was just egging her on, you know? So she kept pleading with him and said, you just mocking me and you've lied to me. Tell me the truth. What will hold you, please? And so he said, okay, yeah, if you use new ropes that's never been used, tie me up with it, I'll be just like any other man. Delilah does that. I don't know how she does all that in him asleep. He must have been a sound chunk. But regardless of that, I don't know. She tied him up. Says the Philistines are coming. So he jumps up and the ropes just go, fleet. You know, they're just gone. No problem with the ropes. And you've done nothing but make fun of me, Samson. You can just hear her voice right now. Samson, you're just making fun of me. You know, well, what can I do? Tell me now. Well, the seven locks of my hair, if you weave that, then I'll be weak. So while he's asleep, she weaves it into something very similar to cloth, and maybe a rug. I'm not sure exactly how it is, but, you know, he had long hair because of the Nazarite vow. Start weaving that, you know, it would be even stronger if you think about it, all the hair weaved together. And tied him down with that, and says, the Philistines are coming. Here they come. No problem. He's getting real close. You can tell he's getting close to the actual fact that's gonna affect him. Because he's hair now. So he gave her just a hint and she didn't realize it. But goes on to say, how can you love me and treat me this way? You know, you just, oh. But finally, Samson reveals where his strength lies. He reveals the secret. He says, my hair has never been cut. I've been a Nazarite from my mother's womb. If I were shaven, I would become weak like other men. Delilah knew, with the tone of his voice, evidently, told her the truth finally. He absolutely sorry for this. But he did. He revealed it to her. And, of course, he went to sleep in her lap. He had somebody come in while he was asleep, cut his hair. He didn't know. He woke up. It was any different. Cried out, the Philistines are upon you. Rose up quickly as before, but the strength wasn't there this time. They came in and took him, seized him, and they put out his eyes. I would think at that point Samson would have thought, now he's having to pay the price. They carried him to Gaza. They put him in shackles, made him grind grain in the prison, like an ox, just go in circles all day long. Right. And you might say, well, did he have to have that super strength for that?
No.
I don't know how close to an ox he was without that super strength. I don't know. But evidently, it was he had to work really hard at it this particular time to grind this wheat, whatever he ground, some kind of grain. But as time went by, they failed to notice that his hair began to grow back. And Samson more or less renewed his vow to God right close to the end of his life. Philistines had a great feast to celebrate that they had caught Samson, and our God, how they put it, our God has delivered Samson into our...
Is that what happened?
It was Delilah. By the way, she did receive her money. They paid her. Anyway, at this feast, they began to be merry. More or less got drunk. Very merry in their feast activities. So they cried. Somebody cried out, "Bring out Samson!" They wanted to see him entertain them. And let's just have him out here, and we can just make merry of this. You know, him being there. Some versions use the word making sport, and that's usually referred to of some type of dancing. I'm not sure dancing or not. I don't know. Doesn't make any difference anyway. But Samson was placed between the pillars of the temple, God's temple, I assume, and told the lad, he says, "Let me lean against the pillars." The lad who was leading him carried him over there so he could lean against the pillars of the building. The house was full. There was 3,000 men and women up on the rooftop. Somehow or another, they could see him from up there. I'm not sure exactly how this thing was built. It doesn't matter. But I don't know whether he had been up there and then come back down. I don't know. But Samson prayed to Jehovah just one more time. Let me have revenge for my eyes. Jehovah heard him. So he placed his hands on the pillars. Just let me die with the Philistines. And broke the pillars. He killed more in his death than he did during his entire lifetime. I just throw this little thing together. But if these two pillars right here supported this entire roof, you can see how if these broke, this whole building would collapse. Whether it's built like that, I don't know. But it kind of gives you an idea of what could happen if the whole roof came down. If you had 3,000 people up there especially, that'd be a pretty good bit of weight. But the men from Dan came and took Samson's body and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. Samson judged Israel for 20 years. Now, we're fixing to leave Judges for a short time, and we'll skip over Ruth, take up the stories of Eli and Samuel, who are more judges. Then start this Lord. By the way, there's Zorah and Eshtol. So the burying place is somewhere in between those. Give you an idea of where that's at. Okay? Thank you so much.